The early history of Jerusalem is very obscure. The Tell al-Amarna letters show that long before the invasion by Joshua, it was occupied by the Egyptians and was probably a stronghold of considerable importance, as it formed a good strategical position in the hill country of southern Palestine. We do not know how the Egyptians were forced to abandon Jerusalem, but at the time of the Israelite conquest, it was undoubtedly in the hands of the Jebusites, the native inhabitants of the country. The exact position of the Jebusite city is unknown. Some authorities locate it on the western hill, now known as Zion. Some on the eastern hill, afterwards occupied by the temple and the city of David. While others consider it was a double settlement, one part being on the western and the other on the eastern hill, separated from one another by the Tyropean Valley. The latter view appears to be the most probable, as, according to the biblical accounts, Jerusalem was partly in Judah and partly in Benjamin, the line of demarcation between the two tribes passing through the city. According to this theory, the part of Jerusalem known as Jebus was situated on the western hill, and the outlying fort of Zion on the eastern hill. The men of Judah and Benjamin did not succeed in getting full possession of the place, and the Jebusites still held it when David became king of Israel. Some years after his accession, David succeeded, after some difficulty, in taking Jerusalem. He established his royal city on the eastern hill, close to the site of the Jebusite Zion, while Jebus, the town on the western side of the Tyropean Valley, became the civil city, of which Job, David's leading general, was appointed governor. David surrounded the royal city with a wall and built a citadel, probably on the site of the Jebusite fort of Zion, while Job fortified the western town. North of the city of David, the king, acting under divine guidance, chose a site for the temple of Jehovah, which was erected with great magnificence by Solomon. The actual site occupied by this building has given rise to much controversy, though all authorities are agreed that it must have stood on some part of the area now known as the Haram. On the whole, it is most likely that the temple was erected by Solomon on the same spot as is now occupied by the Dome of the Rock, commonly known as the Mosque of Omar, and, regard being had to the levels of the ground, it is possible that the Holy of Holies, the most sacred chamber of the temple, stood over the rock, which is still regarded with veneration by the Muslims. Solomon greatly strengthened the fortifications of Jerusalem, and was probably the builder of the line of defense called by Josephus the First, or Old Wall, which united the cities on the eastern and western hills. The kingdom reached its highest point of importance during the reign of Solomon, but shortly after his death it was broken up by the rebellion of Jeroboam, who founded the separate kingdom of Israel with its capital at Shechem. Two tribes only, Judah and Benjamin, with the descendants of Levi, remained faithful to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Jerusalem thus lost much of its importance, especially after it was forced to surrender to Shishak, king of Egypt, who carried off a great part of the riches which had been accumulated by Solomon. The history of Jerusalem during the succeeding three centuries consists, for the most part, of a succession of wars against the kingdom of Israel, the Moabites and the Syrians. Joash, king of Israel, captured the city from Amaziah, king of Judah, and destroyed part of the fortifications. But these were rebuilt by Uzziah, the son of Amaziah, who did much to restore the city to its original prosperity. In the reign of Hezekiah, the kingdom of Judah became tributary to the Assyrians, who attempted the capture of Jerusalem. Hezekiah improved the defenses and arranged for a good water supply, preparatory to the siege by Sennacherib, the Assyrian general. The siege failed, and the Assyrians retired. Some years later, Syria was again invaded by the Egyptians, who reduced Judah to the position of a tributary state. In the reign of Zedekiah, the last of the line of kings, Jerusalem was captured by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who pillaged the city, destroyed the temple, and ruined the fortifications. A number of the principal inhabitants were carried captive to Babylon, and Jerusalem was reduced to the position of an insignificant town. Nebuchadnezzar placed in the city a garrison, which appears to have been quartered on the western hill, while the eastern hill, on which were the temple and the city of David, was left more or less desolate. We have no information regarding Jerusalem during the period of the captivity, but fortunately Nehemiah, who was permitted to return and rebuild the defenses about 445 B.C., has given a fairly clear description of the line of the wall, which enables us to obtain a good idea of the extent of the city at this period. The temple had already been partially rebuilt by Zedekiah and his companions, but on a scale far inferior to the magnificent building of King Solomon, and Nehemiah devoted his attention to the reconstruction of the walls. Before beginning the work, he made a preliminary reconnaissance of the fortifications on the south of the town, from the Valley Gate, which was near the southeast corner, to the Pool of Siloam and the Valley of the Kidron. He then allotted the reconstruction of wall and gates to different parties of workmen, and his narrative describes the portion of wall upon which each of these was employed. After the restoration of the walls of Jerusalem by Nehemiah, a considerable number of Jews returned to the city, but we know practically nothing of its history for more than a century, until, in 332 B.C., Alexander the Great conquered Syria. The gates of Jerusalem were opened to him, and he left the Jews in peaceful occupation. But his successors did not act with similar leniency. When the city was captured by Ptolemy I, king of Egypt, 12 years later, the fortifications were partially demolished, and apparently not again restored until the period of the high priest Simon II, who repaired the defenses and also the temple buildings. In 168 B.C., Antiochus Epiphanes captured Jerusalem, destroyed the walls, and devastated the temple, reducing the city to a worse position than it had occupied since the time of the captivity. He built a citadel called the Acra to dominate the town and placed in it a strong garrison of Greeks. The position of the Acra is doubtful, but it appears most probable that it stood on the eastern hill between the temple and the city of David, both of which it commanded. Some writers place it north of the temple on the site afterwards occupied by the fortress of Antonia, but such a position is not in accord with the descriptions either in Josephus or in the books of the Maccabees, which are quite consistent with each other. Other writers again have placed the Acra on the eastern side of the hill upon which the Church of the Holy Sepulchre now stands. But as this point was probably quite outside the city at the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, and is at too great a distance from the temple, it can hardly be accepted. But the site which has already been indicated at the northeast corner of the present Mosque el-Aqsa meets the accounts of the ancient authorities better than any other. At this point in the Haram enclosure, there is an enormous underground cistern known as the Great Sea, and this may possibly have been the source of water supply for the Greek garrison. The oppression of Antiochus led to a revolt of the Jews under the leadership of the Maccabees, and Judas Maccabeus succeeded in capturing Jerusalem after severe fighting, but could not get possession of the Acra, which caused much trouble to the Jews, who erected a wall between it and the temple and another wall to cut it off from the city. The Greeks held out for a considerable time, but had finally to surrender, probably from want of food, to Simon Maccabeus, who demolished the Acra and cut down the hill upon which it stood so that it might no longer be higher than the temple, and that there should be no separation between the latter and the city. Simon then constructed a new citadel north of the temple to take the place of the Acra, and established in Judea the Asmonean dynasty, which lasted for nearly a century, when the Roman Republic began to make its influence felt in Syria. In 65 B.C., Jerusalem was captured by Pompey after a difficult siege. The Asmonean dynasty lasted a few years longer, but finally came to an end when Herod the Great, with the aid of the Romans, took possession of Jerusalem and became the first king of the Idumean dynasty. Herod again raised the city to the position of an important capital, restoring the fortifications and rebuilding the temple from its foundations. He also built the great fortress of Antonia northwest of the temple on the site of the citadel of the Asmoneans, and constructed a magnificent palace for himself on the western hill, defended by three great towers, which he named Mariamne, Hippicus, and Phasaelus. At some period between the time of the Maccabees and of Herod, a second or outer wall had been built outside and north of the first wall. But it is not possible to fix an accurate date to this line of defense, as the references to it in Josephus are obscure. Herod adorned the town with other buildings and constructed a theater and gymnasium. He doubled the area of the enclosure round the temple, and there can be little doubt that a great part of the walls of the Haram area date from the time of Herod, while probably the Tower of David, which still exists near the Jaffa Gate, is on the same foundation as one of the towers adjoining his palace. Archelaus, Herod's successor, had far less authority than Herod, and the real power of government at Jerusalem was assumed by the Roman procurators, in the time of one of whom, Pontius Pilate, Jesus Christ, was condemned to death and crucified outside Jerusalem. The places of his execution and burial are not certainly known. Herod Agrippa, who succeeded to the kingdom, built a third or outer wall on the north side of Jerusalem in order to enclose and defend the buildings, which had gradually been constructed outside the old fortifications. The exact line of this third wall is not known with certainty, but it probably followed approximately the same line as the existing north wall of Jerusalem. Some writers have considered that it extended a considerable distance farther to the north, but of this there is no proof, and no remains have as yet been found which would support the opinion. The wall of Herod Agrippa was planned on a great scale, but its execution was stopped by the Romans, so that it was not completed at the time of the siege of Jerusalem by Titus. The writings of Josephus give us a good idea of the fortifications and buildings of Jerusalem at the time of the siege, and his accurate personal knowledge makes his account worthy of the most careful perusal. He explains clearly how Titus, beginning his attack from the north, captured the third or outer wall, then the second wall, and finally the fortress of Antonia, the temple, and the upper city. After the capture, Titus ordered the temple to be demolished and the fortifications to be leveled, with the exception of the three great towers at Herod's palace. It is, however, uncertain how far the order was carried out, and it is probable that the outer walls of the temple enclosure were left partially standing, and that the defenses on the west and south of the city were not completely leveled. When Titus and his army withdrew from Jerusalem, the 10th Legion was left as a permanent Roman garrison, and a fortified camp for their occupation was established on the western hill. For 60 years the Roman garrison were left in undisturbed occupation, but in 132 the Jews rose in revolt under the leadership of Bar Kokhba, who took possession of Jerusalem. After a severe struggle, the revolt was suppressed by the Roman general Julius Severus, and Jerusalem was recaptured and again destroyed. According to some writers, this devastation was even more complete than after the siege by Titus. About 130, the emperor Hadrian decided to rebuild Jerusalem and make it a Roman colony. The new city was called Aelia Capitolina. The exact size of the city is not known, but it probably extended as far as the present north wall of Jerusalem and included the northern part of the western hill. A temple dedicated to Jupiter Capitolinus was erected on the site of the temple, and other buildings were constructed, known as the Theatre, the Demosia, the Tetranymphon, the Dodecapilon, and the Codra. The Jews were forbidden to reside in the city, but Christians were freely admitted, The history of Jerusalem during the period between the foundation of the city of Aelia by the Emperor Hadrian and the accession of Constantine the Great in 306 is obscure, but no important change appears to have been made in the size or fortifications of the city, which continued as a Roman colony. In 326, Constantine, after his conversion to Christianity, issued orders to the bishop Macarius to recover the site of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and the tomb in which his body was laid. After the holy sites had been determined, Constantine gave orders for the construction of two magnificent churches, the one over the tomb and the other over the place where the cross was discovered. The present church of the Holy Sepulchre stands on the site upon which one of the churches of Constantine was built, but the second church, the Basilica of the Cross, has completely disappeared. The next important epoch in building construction at Jerusalem was about 460, when the Empress Eudocia visited Palestine and expended large sums on the improvement of the city. The walls were repaired by her orders, and the line of fortifications appears to have been extended on the south so as to include the Pool of Siloam. A church was built above the pool, probably at the same time, and, after having completely disappeared for many centuries, it was recovered during an exploration of Jerusalem. The Empress also erected a large church in honor of St. Stephen, north of the Damascus Gate, and is believed to have been buried therein. The site of this church was discovered in 1874, and it has since been rebuilt. In the 6th century, the Emperor Justinian erected a magnificent basilica at Jerusalem in honor of the Virgin Mary, and attached to it two hospitals, one for the reception of pilgrims and one for the accommodation of the sick poor. The description given by Procopius does not indicate clearly where this church was situated. A theory frequently put forward is that it stood within the Haram area, near the Mosque of El-Aqsa, but it is more probable that it was on Zion, near the traditional place of the Cenaculum, or Last Supper, where the Muslim building known as the Tomb of David now stands. In 614, Khosrows II, the king of Persia, captured Jerusalem, devastated many of the buildings, and massacred a great number of the inhabitants. The churches at the Holy Sepulchre were much damaged, but were partially restored by the monk Modestus, who devoted himself with great energy to the work. After a severe struggle, the Persians were defeated by the emperor Heraclius, who entered Jerusalem in triumph in 629, bringing with him the Holy Cross, which had been carried off by Khosrows. At this period, the religion of Muhammad was spreading over the east, and in 637, the Caliph Omar marched on Jerusalem, which capitulated after a siege of 4 months. Omar behaved with great moderation, restraining his troops from pillage and leaving the Christians in possession of their churches. A wooden mosque was erected near the site of the temple, which was replaced by the Mosque of Aqsa, built by the Amir Abd al-Malik, who also constructed the Dome of the Rock, known as the Mosque of Omar, in 688. The Muslims held Jerusalem until 1099, when it was captured by the Crusaders under Godfrey of Bouillon, and became the capital of the Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem until 1187, when Saladin reconquered it and rebuilt the walls. Except from 1229 to 1239, and from 1243 to 1244, the city was held by the Muslims. It was occupied by the Egyptian sultans until 1517, when the Turks, under Selim I, occupied Syria. Selim's successor, Suleiman the Magnificent, restored the fortifications, which since that time have been little altered. At this point we leave off our history of Jerusalem and return to Josephus and his history of the Jewish rebellion of A.D. 66.